Press record. Oh, good. Okay.
Oh, there we go. Nice. Danny, keep that. hey, everybody from the Fam Abundance community. We are now recording, which is really great because it would have been really easy to not push record and then to have the whole conversation not recorded. Thanks for reminding me, Alana.
You're welcome. I don't mean to be a nag. I just saw you so present and ready to go. I'm like, shit, he hasn't pressed record. So
anyway. Right. That's well said, because I was getting myself centered to introduce you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I was thinking to myself, how would I like to hear your introduction if I was the listener? Mm. And what would make me, you know, take a step in and say, yes, I'm going to listen to this. Because, you know, in the first little bit of every podcast or every video, there's a little voice inside of our heads that says, is this going to be valuable? Is this worth the time? Is there an ROI on this? What do I have in my schedule? How much can I listen to?
Yeah. And, am I in or am I out? Yeah.
Am I in or am I out? Well, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, you are in. And you are in to connect with an intimacy expert. Her name is Alana Pratt. She's become a good friend of not only myself, but of our FamBundance and GoBundance community very quickly. What she recently did at our couples retreat was legendary. And there's no way that we could describe what that was like, although we'll do our best. If you're wondering, the Berghoff family, the McCarthy family, the Osborne family, the Kirk family, the Roman family, the Elrod family, there's a whole bunch of families that you could just reach out to and say, how'd that go? I think that they would have some delicious things to tell you. So her name is Alana Pratt. She is a global media personality who awakens open-hearted, unapologetic, living after heartbreak. Her vulnerability and courage has landed her a featured weekly column on the Good Men Project. Featured as an icon of influence and a guest expert on Huffington Post, People Magazine, Forbes, The Jenny McCarthy Show, among other national media. This Ivy League grad is an author of 4 top-selling books, has interviewed Whoopi Goldberg, Alanis Morissette, and Dr. Bernie Siegel.
Yes.
And hosts the Edgy Podcast, which I was just on. Such an honor. Intimate Conversations. And on that actual podcast, it's interesting because like part of that podcast is really diving in so that listeners learn how to find the relationship that they deserve with themselves and, as you might call it, a whole mate partner.
Mm, yes. Right?
So incredible depths of vulnerability. And we took a pretty deep dive today into just some psychology that holds us back from being able to have that relationship with ourselves and others.
Yeah.
There's so much more here because you are a certified coach. You were asked by Lisa Gibbons to coach her during Dancing with the Stars, which is incredible. That's one I just need to know. What does it mean to coach someone for Dancing with the Stars? Just tell us a little bit about that.
Just super short?
Yeah, super short.
Okay. So I was on Lisa's radio show for about 2 years. As back then I was just a relationship expert. Now I've like honed it into intimacy, but she got the call and all the producers ran in. They're like, you have to do it. She's like, no. And I said, why? She goes, my thighs in front of 52 million people. I'm turning 50 this year. And I said, whoa, people, none of you have to show your thighs. This is a very valid reason. So I said, okay, so are we going to do this to look good, do it right, and be good? You know, all of the reasons we give away our power, right? To try to get approval, get appreciated, look good. I said, are we going to do it for the experience? Are we going to do it to inspire all women and men to just live for the sake of living and showing up and expressing? Are we going to do it for that reason? I go, because it's for the second reason, I'll be there for you. I'll coach you. And if it's for the first reason, I'm not interested in that because you're just playing into the social pressures. So she goes, yes, let's do it. Coach me and let's do it for the experience. And she actually found safety in sensuality for one of the first times in her life. And I've since heard from her daughter. Well, I know from her, but she's remarried to somebody that really gets her for the first time. And I betcha it had to do with this experience she had of safety in her body and her femininity and her intimacy and opening for one of the first times in her life. Mm. She's a rock star. She's awesome.
Yeah. And an incredible description of that experience and the type of coaching that you were doing. It seems like it was in some way around self-image and what other people think.
Well, she had quite the conversation with her thighs up until we started coaching together. It was very critical. They were too big. Her body was never good enough. And so she did not have an intimate relationship with her body. She had a very conflictual and combative, destructive relationship of rejection with her body. And so she's been on camera her whole life. Like she was like, you know, the host of Extra, and she has all of her Lisa's Place, wonderful places for the caregivers, the ones who actually give the care. She's an amazing woman, but being so put on the camera for so many years of her life and having her accomplishments and her worth based on her looks, it was really hard for her to just be free in her body. And so when we did all of this intimacy work and we literally talked to her thighs, just like you and I are talking right now, I was like, let's talk to your thighs. They're not so happy with you. They have every right to be not so happy with you. And so when she came into union, not fusion, but union, like two coming together, so the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. When she came into union with her body, the weight that she wanted to release went away. The strength that she wanted to gain happened. She started to really enjoy the dancing, and she was out of her head, and she was in the present moment dancing for the joy of it. In front of 52 friggin' million people. Pretty impressive.
Well, nice work in finding a way to create space for her to, you know, be able to have that conversation with you and ultimately with her thighs.
Yes. Yes, we want to love our thighs. We want to love all parts of ourselves.
Well, that is, you know, what do you think one of the biggest challenges we face as human beings? Like, what's one of the biggest challenges that we face in the journey of loving ourselves?
Yeah, well, it's so friggin' easy to love where we look good, did it right. You know, we got the money, got the gal, got the, you know, got the great butt, whatever it is that we're going, like, it's so easy to love that part of ourselves. It's really challenging to love your wobbly parts, like literally your wobbly butt, or to love your insecure wobbly parts, or to love the part of you that failed, or the part of you that doesn't know.
Whoa.
Like, how do you love them? No, we fix them. We change them. We fix them. We don't let anybody know about that. We put on these masks. We try to look good. And that's called not an intimate relationship. That's called not unconditional love. That's conditional love. I'll love you when you change, when you're better, when you're different. Not now. Go in the closet. Here's a 2x4. Stick them in the closet. And so part of the work that I do, I don't need to help people love their like triumphant parts. That's simple and easy. What I do is I go into the shadow, into the closet, where I call it either little you, or it could be a body part, or it could be a time when they really failed. Maybe there was a divorce, a death, a bankruptcy, a huge rejection. And we go in there and we talk to that part of them who they've rejected. So this little you is not going to be thrilled to talk to you at first because you've been really mean. So's the world and you. Screw everybody. So we have to build. We have to build trust. We have to build respect. We have to apologize. We have to own it. We have to make up for the damage done, and we have to do it without the strategy of doing this so you'll shut the fuck up and stop being so scared. We have to do it with the willingness to sit there with them in the dark for eternity, even if they never change, and love them. That's unconditional love, love without condition. I will love you wobbly forever, even if you never change. And when you mean it, and I have processes to help them mean it, when you really mean it, that aspect of self is like, really? And then the heart opens again and the connection happens again and the union, communion. In that sense, it is more of a fusion. You are coming home to self. You are becoming whole. And that part is no longer disassociated. You're no longer trying to overcome or make sure nobody finds that part out about you. You can just be, hey, here I am. Here's my wobbly self. Here's my magnificent self. Here's all of me. Hi, nice to meet you. Nothing to justify, nothing to overcome or prove. It's just, hi. Mm-hmm. When you have that kind of presence with yourself, what arises in connection with another is magic.
Mm-hmm. I have a question to follow up on that.
Please.
The balance between accepting yourself as you are and stepping in to the person that you are able to be. Because maybe you can't have, maybe you're 50 and you can't have 25-year-old thighs. And you want to love your thighs where they are. And yeah, at the same time, not use that as an excuse to not go to the gym and not do the things that you know are going to help you to, you know, still have a healthy image with the work you're doing. Like, how do you balance the love for yourself in those parts that are real vulnerable?
Yeah.
And also the ambition to improve them, to hit a certain goal,
Yeah, no, it's such a great question. So there is a very big difference between being motivated by fear and inspired by love. So in one example, you'd go in and try to be nice to your thighs so that they would get smaller and you could look good. And there's a fear-based reason you're doing it. There's like a resistance, like you're not okay the way you are. So I need to change you. So I call that, another way of calling that is like sprinkles on top of the ice cream cone of shit. So you have a good attitude, you keep pushing, you have willpower, you can do it. But at the core of it all, you're still hating yourself or resisting yourself or rejecting yourself. Now, when you do it the other way, when you go in with this willingness to sit with that part of you for eternity and you don't judge them anymore and they come home, when you're no longer resisting, so there's no longer separation, there's oneness. When you have oneness, you are inspired by not the motivation, but the inspiration. So you have this desire to go to the gym for the sake of health, not to look good and make the thighs small. You have the inspiration to have a great family, not to no longer be alone, but to really cultivate a great family. Do you see what I'm saying? So you still take action, but you're either being fueled by the whole universe in you, as you, through you, because you're no longer in resistance to self. If you're in resistance to self, you're in resistance to the universe. Hello, you're either alone, doing it all alone, which is scary, or you're in communion with the universe coming in you, as you, through you, partnering with you, inspiring with you to go to the gym. I'm a super driven chick. I'm all about accomplishment. I'm all about being healthy and making a difference and all the rest of it. But it used to be so that you liked me, you approved of me, I was good enough, I was worthy. Even making a difference had this flavor of, I'm not good enough when I wake up in the morning. I have to do a bunch of stuff in order to be good enough by the end of the day. It was based on lack. And not that I'm perfect, but I've come so far, all those places where I was seeking all these accomplishments and achievements on the outside in order to be okay, be liked, be safe, be whatever the hell I wanted. When I brought all these little aspects of self home, all these little yous home, and I'm no longer resisting all these aspects of self, I wake up, not all the time, but pretty much all the time, inspired to work out, inspired to get on the calls, inspired to send more emails. It's not like I never get scared. I get scared all the time. I fail all the time. I fall down all the time. It's not that I'm perfect, but I'm inspired naturally to take action. I'm not through willpower and hardcore beating myself up, getting myself to do the work. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you still have to deploy hey, I'm going to lay down the hammer a little bit here. I realize like where I'm at and I know I'm kind of making excuses. So I am going to kind of push myself because I'm just having one of those days.
No, I don't do the hammer. I just don't. I refuse.
A tech hammer?
A tickle? I might do a tickle. No, like for example, following up with clients, for example, that haven't moved forward is like, like I get in my head and what should I say and when should I say it and how should I say it and put myself in their shoes. And like, I get all in my head about it and I stop myself. So for me to move forward, I don't do it through, come on, Alana, get your ass in gear. I won't do it like mean, because as soon as I do mean, for me anyways, I crumple. I come up with excuses, or the email that goes out is all on top of this self-abuse. So it's a little edgy. It's a little too pushy. I'm not actually in communion and connection with that client, because I'm not in communion and connection with me. So I first do okay, you have every right to be concerned about how to send the right email. It's okay. I know you want to help this person. You have great care for them. I get it. So I like talk myself through the fear of like, you have every right to worry. That's okay. And I gotcha. Whether they want to receive our guidance or not, it's okay. We're still here. We're still making our difference. It's going to be okay. So I come back into communion with me first, and then I say, and sit your cute ass down, little you, sit on my lap, here's a popsicle, here we go, we're going to send an email. But I'm doing it from alignment, I'm doing it from inner congruency, I'm doing it from truth, and I'm able to like connect with them clear and present, not managing all this shit, trying to make something happen. Nobody wants to be made the sale. That doesn't feel good to them, right? And that's what happens when you have to push so hard. But when you have this inner, okay, it's okay that we're scared, it's okay that we don't know, and we're going to move forward. And then you move forward. So I still take action, but I do the work first. Otherwise I'm overcompensating for something and it never comes across authentic, because it's not all me. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it makes sense. It really speaks to the conversation you and I had on your podcast, which is called Intimate Conversations. On that podcast, we talked about awareness. And the ability to be aware. And really what we're talking about right now is each individual person who's listening to this call is ultimately, in order to put some of these tools or techniques that Alana is talking about into practice, the first level is becoming aware of what it is that might be pulling you, pushing you, where the hammer is. So gaining a sense of awareness is going to be very helpful in being able to identify how you're talking to your thighs, because before you're aware, you might just be doing it subconsciously and not know you're doing it and know totally. And feel something inside of yourself, but not be quite sure what it is. And so as you become aware of the different levels of ways that we judge ourselves and love ourselves and judge others and love others, it gives us a lens or a crack into us having more of a choice on how we really want to show up for the activity, for the person, or for the relationship with ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. And something I wanted to add to what you just said, in my practice, when people come to me and they don't have intimacy with self or with their partner, or even with their purpose, it always goes back to the way they were parented. It always. They were criticized. They were told they were not good enough. They were ignored. They were abandoned. They were rejected. They were toyed with. They were, maybe the dad was absent or the mom was absent, so they were made to be the partner of their parent. Like all of that emotional need was filled by, they had all these different issues today as an adult because of how they were parented in a way that wasn't as supportive. Their parents hadn't done what this work that I'm talking about. They were doing their best. Everybody does their best, but they were, the adult now is still seeking that love, still seeking that approval. And often all of their results are based on proving, see, I did it. See, you never believed in me, but I showed you, didn't I? Or overcompensating because I'm, daddy, am I good enough? Well, I'll prove, look at how successful I am. So a lot of their actions are not inspired by truth. They're an overcompensation for what they never got as a child. Now that's okay. It's okay to get to, I'll call it phase one, from fear, from motivation, from fear. I mean, I'm an Ivy League grad because daddy didn't pay any attention to me. So good for me. Okay. But that's not the end game, people. Okay. That's just phase one. Phase two is called enlightenment. This planet needs us enlightened, not coming from fear, but coming from love. And so what does that mean? Oh, come from love. What does that really mean? No, it means that come home with yourself, reparent yourself, talk to yourself in a way that you never were talked to, so that you can have that moment of safety, security, home, approval, oneness. And you can hear what's true, and you can hear your unique evolutionary innate spark of why you're here to serve your unique circle, and then damn well take action. But it's from love. It can be fierce love. It can be bold love, but it's still love. It's not based on the fear. And I think it's very important for us to go, okay, well, I've already reached all this success. What's missing? Aha, that's what's missing, is that you're still not home inside. And yeah, you're super successful, but how successful could you be if you were inspired by love rather than motivated from fear? And that tipping point, that elevation from what still looks good to society to what I can sense and see, like, oh man, you've got, or woman, you've got so much more available with your children and with your purpose and with your businesses, if it was all congruent and home inside, and then we're taking action. And I think we need to be leaders on the planet, teaching that that's what this planet needs. I think all the problems, if we were to look at them, come from unconsciousness. So you're unconscious when you're pushing yourself away, judging yourself, rejecting yourself, being mean to yourself. It clouds the voice of truth. Judgment, you can't hear what's underneath it. But if we could come home inside, have intimacy with self inside, we could hear our own intuition. We could hear the whisper of God. We could hear our own instincts, and we could take aligned action. And I think it would inherently basically solve all the problems on the planet, because we're all wired to give our unique innate gifts, all of us. And if we could come into partnership like this, you referred to wholemate earlier. If we could come into partnership like that, where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts within your marriage or within your business partnerships, whew, that's the answer, if you ask me.
We just had someone join us. And I love that it's an Aaron. Is it Aaron West again?
It is
Aaron West again.
Aaron, hi,
West.
Aaron.
Do you know Alana Pratt?
I do not. How are you, Alana?
Nice to meet you, Aaron. It's Alana Banana.
Alana Banana. There you go. I won't forget it now.
I know. You never forget it once you say Alana Banana.
That is correct.
Yeah. I know that you just jumped on, so we're gonna talk a little more, and then I know that if you're on, it sounds like you're driving. If you're able to stay on, you'll probably have some questions that might, you know, that might be really valuable for the community to hear some of your questions as a FanBundance member, as a father, that maybe Alana can talk to.
You bet.
It'd be cool. My pleasure.
So Alana, one thing I want to talk about, and it's a topic that we didn't talk about in our prep call. Okay. However, I'm called to ask you a question about this.
Yeah.
We just talked about the ability to, how would you describe what we just talked about? To love yourself?
Yeah, to stop rejecting, avoiding, denying, judging, any of those words, aspects of yourself that aren't quote unquote up to snuff. And instead of getting mad at them and pushing them and having this willpower, like willpower doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It might be sustainable for a short term, totally exhaust you, but you've created such unkindness in the process. You've really dampened the light of your soul. So what I'm asking people to is to consider that what if you took a different approach for an even exponential innovative result by bringing these parts of yourself home through understanding, through validation, through acknowledgement, through no judgment, through total understanding and listening and care. And then once they're home, you will experience more power, more focus, more innovation, more ideas, more creativity. And from there, take action. That's what I believe is the shift. Any child will tell you, I don't like to be yelled at, right? Nobody likes to be yelled at. But children also get out of hand when you don't have healthy boundaries, when you don't have consistent, healthy boundaries, they will push as well. So it's not that we don't want to ever be firm, be loving, but there's a difference between making somebody wrong and bad as to being firm and bringing out the best in them. And that's the line that I'm talking about.
Yeah. Wow. What I just heard is be kinder to the child that lives inside of all of us.
And you'll be a better parent and a better lover and everything.
Yeah, you're right. Like if you were to talk aggressively to a child or to use a certain tone or to yell, the response is always not healthy. And you would imagine that response is the same for us when we do it to ourselves.
Yeah, we can break our children's spirit. We can break our own spirit by being that unkind to ourselves. And then when we take action, it's from a place of revenge or overcompensation or proving. And that's not a fun way to live.
What have you learned from, you've been divorced a couple of times.
Bring it on, twice, yes.
Yeah, you've been divorced twice. What have you learned about marriage from having two marriages that didn't work?
That didn't work. Yeah. The first one, I didn't even ask if I loved him, to be very honest with you. He was tall, dark, and handsome, multimillionaire, thought I was the bee's knees. And I thought, oh my God, I will never find someone else this successful that will love me. That's the truth of what I thought. I was very young, early 20s. My dad was never there for me, drunk and stoned all my life, never had a good role model of what, a healthy marriage looked like. And so I thought, well, this is as good as it's going to get. Let's go along with it. And I remember so distinctly one of the first dates he took me on. We went to the Shangri-La in the Philippines. I was living in Tokyo at the time. I remember he was negotiating his bonus, 1.3 or something like that. And I was so proud of myself, Jeremy, that I had saved $40,000. Like I arrived in Japan with $40. Like that was it. Like $40 to my name and a Visa card from my dad. If I failed, I could admit failure and come home and go work at the pharmacy. So I had my credit card and my $40. But I did it. I had saved over 40 grand. I was so proud of myself. And there he was in that moment, you know, negotiating his big bonus. And I don't know why I made this up, but I decided he was better than me, smarter than me, superior than me. And all I was going to do is just seek his approval. And somehow then, you know, quote unquote, in the brackets, then daddy would love me. I had not done any inner work. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I was just trying to be loved and be safe and be secure. And so as the marriage went on, I saw that he was more interested in me for the arm candy aspect And I was more interested in him for the security aspect, two very low vibrational reasons to get married. And we did work, we did therapy, we did workshops, etc. But after 6 years and hiding in the closet to meditate because he thought I was so weird, I said, you know what, we've tried and this is it. And I know the universe was on my side supporting me, God, the universe, higher power, whatever word is wonderful for you, because I didn't have a green card yet. And I'm Canadian. And so there I was. And I said, I'm done, even though I don't know what's going to happen. I'll go back to Japan and be a model and dance. I'll go back to Canada, work at the damn pharmacy, but I'm not going to be in this relationship. It was very judgmental. He was very judgmental, but I set him up for it. I was willing to be the people pleaser. Right. And so the very next day after I said, I'm done, the green card arrived. And I was able to stay in the States. And I really believe in life, we have to jump first and then the net will appear. We have to follow our truth in the face of anything and the net will appear. So that was my lesson for marriage number one. And so of course, instead of growing, that's just one side of the coin is the damsel in distress. Let's not grow. Let's just be a badass masculine woman. I got this. So I went off and said, I can figure this out. I just need somebody with a checkbook and a pulse. Let's get married. Let's have a kid. We can do this. And I was so in my masculine. My mother was dying at the time. My heart was as closed as it could be. I was in so much fear of losing her because she was basically the one that saw me the most in my family. And so I with a shut heart and in my masculine energy, I was going to make this work. So I found whoever would do, you'll do, and let's get married. And again, I thought I loved him. He was very charismatic and thought I, again, was the bee's knees. So my mother died. We got pregnant. And within a short period of time, under a year, I realized, oh dear, I've made another mistake. He was a very, very angry man just wanting to take my money. But I didn't sign a prenup because I had to sign a prenup with the first marriage and I didn't like that very much. So he ended up taking all my money. So there I was, two for two. And I was like, oh, okay, the only one here in common is me. I've done the same wound on either side of the coin. It is time to grow up. It is time to do my work. And what I realized is that I had not done any of my inner healing. I hadn't healed from any of my daddy wounds, hadn't healed from my mother's death. And I was just seeking a man to fix it all. And of course, that's not very successful. So some people learn these lessons within a marriage over time. They grow together and each of them heal and they stay together. For me, it didn't work. Both partners didn't want to grow together. And so I completed both of those relationships. And I'm grateful today to say that I'm actually very grateful. I'm who I am today because of the lessons they taught me.
I'm texting Aaron to tell him to mute his phone right now.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that on our side.
I just texted him. Oh, he muted it. It went mute and then it came back.
Oh. Do it again, Aaron.
One more time.
Do it again. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the idea of divorce, interestingly enough, it's come up a couple times with calls I've had of individuals who have either already joined the Fambundance community or are on the verge. And one of the things that has been brought up is a really uncomfortable divorce that's happened in the last 5-6 years or is, you know, potentially could be on the horizon. And I realize that, you know, I've never been divorced. And so I really appreciate some of the stories that you just shared and the lessons that are so invaluable. I have one more question on the divorce topic.
And I have something to share as well, so bring it.
How important is it to develop that sense of self-worth for yourself in order to not only show up as the partner that you most likely will need to be to make the marriage really work?
Yeah.
So, but how might someone also use, if they are going through divorce or are going through some relationship challenges that seem overwhelming, that seem intense, that seem like, you know, like just overwhelming, how might they use a practice of connecting to themselves to be able to move through it?
Yeah. So the first part of the question was, how important is it? Imperative, absolutely imperative. You saw my two divorces were based on me not doing my inner work and blaming the other or grasping the other, this kind of thing. So it's absolutely imperative. Second thing I want to say, and then I'll answer the second question. Divorce isn't wrong or bad, by the way. Some relationships have a sacred contract of forever. some for a decade, some for a year. That actually doesn't make a person wrong or bad. If they're, I'm better because I've been married longer. Well, no, maybe you've settled the whole time and you have a fake outside thing and you haven't really done any inner work. Not that I'm saying that's anybody on the call, but that's a possibility that just because you're married for a long time doesn't mean you've evolved, supported each other, grown, raised great kids, made a difference on the planet. It has nothing to do with anything. It's just a number. Okay. So to me, there's a sacred contract and it's not up to me. And it's between the two people and it's for however long it's for. When I'm with a couple and they're on the brink, before we go to, I call it consciously uncouple. I'm sure you've, you know, heard that term before, which means we both take responsibility. We don't blame each other. And from loving kindness, we create an agreement that works for the highest good of all. Okay. Before we go there, let's make sure every stone is unturned. Have we done all of this inner work that I've talked about? Are you home inside yourself, or are you seeking them for approval, or are you not communicating authentically? Like, have you not even spoken about the sexuality that you really desire? Are you actually, you know, speaking truth? Are you blaming? Like, let's look at all the things that might be going on that's leading to this feeling of separation, this experience of separation, and own our shit, each of them individually. And so when I work with couples, I often do a session with her, a session with him, couple session every week. Like, we change, right? Because there's some stuff that he's just the trigger for. There's some stuff that she's just the trigger for, but it's not the other person's problem. They are rubbing up against you in a good way to ruffle your feathers so that you can do your work. Thank you. Ruffle my feathers. I'm going to do my work. And there's often things that we just do separately. The other person doesn't need to know. It's deep inner work. It's fine. You can, then in the couple session, you share what is going to be a contribution to the marriage, to the relationship. And then we keep moving forward. And when you do that over a very short period of time, 2-3 months, it gets very clear whether the sacred contract is complete. And you know it because there is either this new phase two honeymoon energy that arises and you're like, it's like I'm talking to you for the first time. It's like I've never seen this part of you before. Like, all that, you see each other anew because you've come home anew. You literally have new eyes. Or you have come home and you see them, and you see them with gratitude for who they are. And you see the fact, not the judgment, right or wrong, just the fact of the incongruency. We're just not the same person. Maybe we've grown in two different directions over 10, 20 years, and that's okay. I love you. I appreciate you. I'm grateful for you. And I'm going to the left and you're going to the right. And that's okay. And that's okay. And you see that clearly, but you can't see any of that clearly until each person has done their own inner work. They're both home and they both have this intimacy with self. So you can see rightly and see clearly and hear truth. So number three, to answer what you had just said, like, what is a practice they can do? Begin a dialogue with your, I guess we could call it your little you, the one who's like, he's mean or she's a jerk or whatever. Like, begin a dialogue, not to fix, not to put them in a better mood, not to get them to change, but literally just imagine you're going to sit with them all day, take a walk, take your journal, half day if you can only find a half day, and just begin a dialogue with what this part of you is needing and wanting. I need to be heard. I don't feel valued. I'm never listened to. Like, whatever this part of you is saying that you're blaming the other partner for a period of time, start giving it to yourself. Listen to yourself. Take yourself out for walks more. Journal with yourself more. You want more attention? Listen, what do I choose? Oh, I haven't been to yoga in a while. Got it. I'm going to go. Oh, I really miss painting. I'm going to get my painting gear out again. Start cultivating what you're seeking from another. Give to yourself so that you're coming not from emptiness, but from more fullness. Then you'll start to actually see your partner with true eyes, with right eyes. Seeing from empty, they're never going to be good enough. Inherently, never going to be good enough. So if you need their approval, approve of yourself, right? If you need them to be a certain way, be an allowance of yourself, then you can be an allowance of others. But if you can't be an allowance of yourself, you're going to be a dominating jerk, prick, bitch, whatever you want to call it, like, to the other person. But it's just a projection of what's going on inside every time, every time. So fall in love with yourself, maybe, as a way to say it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's always, I always get this feeling when I think of fall in love with yourself, where for some reason, the first thought that comes into my mind is, that's weird. Fall in love with yourself, right? Like, somehow along the way, not being too confident, or the bridge, or the fine line between cocky and confident, and the, you know, through high school, through even success, I started to try and like push away what it was that I really was, push away the things that I knew were part of me, yet for some reason, maybe I felt resistance from someone about that part of myself, whether it was a potential client or a friend or a partner. And so I started to try and bury that part of myself a little bit.
Of course.
And especially in like the spots where in business, where we've had these successes, where we go, oh yeah, it was, you know, someone might give us a pat on the back and say, that was amazing. Great work. You're awesome. How did you do that? You're special. And we hear those words and we might let them move right through us without even acknowledging that someone just gave us the very kind of acknowledgement that we wanted. Mm. And the reason that I don't allow those things, or in the past haven't allowed those things to come in, is because I was always thinking towards the future of something that I wanted to achieve, or I was always thinking to the future in a way that didn't allow me to even receive the gift in the present moment.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. I like what you're saying here too, because I remember when I first started on the personal growth path and I was reading like Deepak Chopra, and there was something, I'll paraphrase, but something along the lines is, you want to be in a place where you're untouched by praise or criticism. And I was like, what? I didn't really get it at first, but I do now, because if we are operating backwards, outside in, am I good enough? Screw you that you don't think I'm good enough. Am I good enough? Screw, you know, if we're seeking all of that from the outside in, we're always going to be scrambling. And even if we get it, we got to keep it. And so we're still coming from fear. But if we give ourselves not criticism, but healthy critique, and if we give ourselves love, so love by loving ourselves or falling in love with ourselves, what I mean is, you know, when you first fall in love, their farts don't stink. You just think they're the cat's meow, right? Like you, they're wobbly parts. They don't bug you, right? And you just think they're amazing. So what if we looked upon ourselves that way of like, hey, and I imagine giving ourselves like a little noogie. Okay, well, you're really screwed up there, but you're a good person. What did we learn? Okay, let's get back on the horse. Let's handle this. So you still love yourself into action and you adore yourself and you just won't judge yourself. Like that's just not going to get us anywhere. This inner being in love with yourself in the healthiest sense of the word, so that from fullness, I mean, I don't love to be rejected. Who does? But if somebody rejects me, it's not going to take me down anymore, because I'm not sourcing my worth from the outside in anymore. I have a cultivated practice, a daily practice, and it is a practice. I don't think you ever get there, but that I honor myself. I go, look what you've done really well. Well done. And there's no fear of being a narcissist. A narcissist is somebody that has no empathy and is completely disconnected from feeling. And is okay, so that's not what we're going for here. We're not going for the narcissist. We're going for true, healthy, humble confidence. Noble, badass for a woman, like a sacred, sexy woman. So there's this blend of heart and feistiness. There's this, hey, I love you no matter what. And it's okay if we messed up. What did we learn? Let's get back on the saddle. But it's a kindness. It's almost like aggressive kindness with yourself. That kind of falling in love with yourself allows you to no longer worry about criticism or praise too much. You can still accept the praise, but you don't need it. It's different. And you can receive the criticism, take what applies and throw away the rest, and it doesn't take you down. Very powerful place to be in a relationship and to teach our children.
Yes. And to I think one of the things I was trying to convey that I didn't do a very good job of is that there's also an art of finding appreciation for myself.
Yeah.
In those words from other people that for some reason I discount or don't allow to be part of the equation that allows me to feel good about who myself, you know, who I am. It's like, though I don't want to rely on it.
Yeah.
You know, whether I'm relying on it or not.
You're deflecting it.
I'm deflecting it. Yeah. So either way I'm losing.
Yeah. Why? Can I just turn the tables? Why do you do that?
Part of it is the visualization of the future.
You're not so even here. Yeah.
Yeah. Where they, and when I say future, I mean, they acknowledge you for something. And you or myself, I'll just try to speak from my own experience. In my own mind, they acknowledge me and I think, oh, I did about an 85% good job on that. I can see myself in the future doing an even better job on that. So now you're acknowledging me for something that I know I can do better. So now I'm not going to let you acknowledge me for the way I showed up because I'm already telling myself that that wasn't good enough and I need to be better. When in reality, the words that are coming from that person are almost like a voice from within ourselves as encouragement to step into that love for ourselves. And if we deflect it or resist it or don't, you know, it's just, I think for myself, I've seen it as more of a reflection of actually my resistance to the outside is also a reflection of the resistance I felt on the inside.
I was just going to say, what do you not want to feel that makes you jump into the future?
Yeah. Good enough right now.
Yeah. So if you could learn to sit with your little you who doesn't feel good enough and just breathe.
Yeah. I had a coach who led me through it. And the way that he presented it was that I was doing a disservice to the person who was offering the compliment.
Well,
and
are.
That ultimately, yes, if they were opening themselves up to be vulnerable, because it's not easy for us to give each other compliments, especially authentic compliments, that the very thing that I was doing, deflecting, was the very thing that wouldn't serve them. And so as he explained that, it became a practice of every time I got a compliment, feeling the resistance or the deflection, and then, you know, being able to be a back to that word awareness and watching myself deflect it. And before I've completely, before I've deflected it, seeing like, oh gosh, here I am right now getting the words that I would love to get and not allowing it to even come past this force field that I've set up.
Yes.
So once those words were allowed to get in, it's been really nourishing to feeling like there are signs and clues of me being on the right path to a certain sense of purpose.
Mm. Thank you. I like what that coach told you. And I would just, I don't know if challenge is the right word. The core unit of matter is like this dual toroidal field. So it goes infinitely inward and infinitely outward. So if we notice externally that I'm not letting a compliment in, and now I externally keep my focus external and let a compliment in, and I even do it so that I make sure that they aren't deflected and I actually receive their gift, my attention is still all external, which is great. It's only half the picture though. The other half of the picture to really bring it into ease. So it's just like easy. It's just like butter, right? Is to do the other half of the equation, which is to sit in the fire with your own emotions and feelings of unworthiness or not good enough and have that healed. When you do it on both sides, the receiving their gift, giving them the gift of receiving their compliment, and you sit in your own fire, even if you have to vulnerably in that moment say, oh my God, this is really hard for me to receive. Just give me a sec. Thank you. Even if you have to be that like wobbly and vulnerable in the moment, you've done the inner work and the outer work, and that will have double the impact and bring you into presence. And you can, I mean, nobody's perfect, but you could live in presence.
Yes.
That's, and from when you choose, that's your superpower. That's everybody's superpower. Ultimately is when you're connected with self and source, your own unique innate spark that is being fueled by the divine, that co-creative moment is in presence. That's the most powerful place we could make a choice from and take action from. So I would just challenge you, Mr. Brother James, to take it. The outside is awesome, but to do the inside part too. And you don't have to do anything. You don't have to fix. You just sit and you just love that part of you that doesn't feel good enough, just as much as you love the part of you that feels good enough. And when you can actually love the part of you that doesn't feel good enough and not want to change it as equally as you love the part of you that is good enough, then you're free. Then they literally collapse into one and they're home. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, tell people where they could look you up, could find you, could connect with you, could get more of this delicious content from you. So how might someone go about tracking down Alana Pratt?
Thank you. Well, I wanted to offer everybody a gift too, to track. You can track me down with a gift. So for ladies, my website, alanapratt.com/vulnerability, and my name is spelled A-L-L-A-N-A, PRATT.com/vulnerability is this 7-part training. And I call it vulnerability is the new sexy. And it's the ability to put down your walls while still having your spine and be open, be like, allow a compliment to land, allow yourself to be moved. It's very sexy as opposed to someone that has a very big wall up in front and is very skeptical. And so I teach you how to be vulnerable and still have the feeling of safety inside, and discernment. So that's a lovely gift for ladies. And for gentlemen, I have a men's site called GetHerToSayYes.com. And yes is not just, it's body, mind, and spirit, all levels of that. And there's a training there right there on the front page called How to Be a Noble Badass. I think it's really quite awesome. And so that's a free resource for the gentleman. And then even though everybody on this call is married, my fourth book is called 7 Steps to Manifest Your Beloved While Staying True to Yourself. And I think you've gotten from this conversation already that the real beloved that I'm talking about is yourself. And so if you go to alanapratt.com/7steps, the number 7 steps, there's chapter 1, the introduction, the forward, all of this written and audio for you to download for free in case that journey of coming home to yourself is what's next for you, then you can get the book.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being so generous with our community and for creating so much value through the different ways that a person could, you know, take advantage of your experience, your knowledge, your wisdom. There's courses. How many books do you have?
I have 4 and I'm in Canada right now to write my 5th.
And they can find those on Amazon?
They can find them. Those are all self-published, actually. So they're on my site, alanapratt.com. Yep.
Beautiful. Everything's at alanapratt.com. Alana, thank you so much for being you and for bringing such authenticity, vulnerability, and such intelligence to the call. We really value having contributors like yourself on. You make the world a better place by being on this call and sharing your experience so that other people can listen to your stories and listen to your tools and the things that you've been able to use for yourself to move into this place of, you know, loving yourself. And you can see it through you. You radiate it. You live it. Having talked to you and spent time with you, you're just a wonderful human being. And thank you so much for coming and spending some time with us.
So I'll be totally vulnerable. I had to go like with my heart to keep it open. That was such a lovely compliment. And it also really, really warms my heart to know that I'm making a difference and that I'm seen. So thank you so much.
Yeah, you are so welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, whether you're looking into the camera, looking into my eyes, or maybe you're still looking at Lana, which I would totally not blame you for. She has hair and she's beautiful. I've lost some of my hair. However, I love that part of myself.
Thank you.
And I'm consistently working on finding love for what is societally kind of like a unique type of a trigger. That's on the next podcast that we'll have with Alana. Everyone have an amazing, amazing day, evening, morning, wherever you are. And thanks for tuning in. You've done yourself a great service by listening to this Learn and Grow podcast. See you soon.